Welcome back to Rastrelli's, the River City Sports Review. Again, this is program number 700. We got started in the fall of 1986. Used to go between the General Store and the Clinton
right.
Happy Joe's.
Right.
And we did it just for football the first 2 years. But then basketball coaches like Bill Mischewitz wanted to know, why don't you talk to us? And we expanded this series.
And now it's wrestling coaches, cross-country coaches, volleyball coaches. So 700 shows, that's absolutely really amazing. And it's generally about 4 years, you get about 100 in.
Correct.
Okay. So I've been playing with some numbers.
Okay.
I'm just curious, how many different coaches do you think you've talked to?
I would say, probably 2,000, 2,500, something like that.
Because of the turnover rate.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple.
Well, maybe not that many, but, you
there's
know.
There's a turnover rate, and, you know, sometimes you go, I was just thinking how many different, like, football coaches.
Yeah, sports.
From CHS alone that you've talked to. All right. How many kids have you talked to?
Oh, again, hundreds. And that's the one thing I really enjoy about this program. The young people that I talk to this evening, it's so much fun.
Yeah, you do a great job because you put kids number one. I mean, that's why people, and not only that, but the incredible music that's always played as an intro to from timeouts and such. Okay, here's some over-under stuff, okay? Ooh. How many times, I'm figuring that you generally have about 6 to 8 coaches every single time show up at a thing. How many, and generally 5 coaches will say something, probably something like this, okay? How many times have you heard, we just take this one game at a time?
Not all that often.
Really?
To be honest with you, I don't hear that often.
All right. Okay. All right, here's another one. The kids are really working hard.
Hear that a lot.
All right, yeah. People like that one.
Yeah, well, they do.
We're just trying to get better as the year progresses.
Hear that a lot. Okay. Hear that a lot.
We're not looking ahead.
You do hear that. Especially, you do hear that from the coaches.
Well, if you just go by some simple numbers and you multiply it by 5, you're looking at close to, 3,500 times you've heard these phrases? All right. Here's the other one. Things are looking pretty good for the next year.
You like to hear that one. That's the one that you really enjoy hearing.
Often.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
Generally after a show, you have a beer. Okay. And there's 12 ounces in a bottle. And we've done a little math, and it comes out to be that in 700 shows, you've consumed 18.75 gallons of beer.
Ooh, good thing I run.
All right. What do you take away from 700?
Just the opportunity that this station has allowed me to do something like this. I mean, I don't work for a station that belongs to a group of stations. We are an AM, FM, standalone radio station.
Right.
And that has allowed me this kind of freedom. And, you know, I have to sell it, but it's not been hard to sell. I mean, this community, the area businesses have supported athletics on KROS since 1941.
Oh, you know, that's a long time.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So I think that's what I take from it. And the support that I've gotten from my wife, my family, because I ran into Travis Eversmeyer the other night, and I told him this is going to be number 700. And he goes, that's 2 years of Wednesdays.
Never thought of it that way.
I did not think of
people,
it that
way. It's numbers.
Yeah, he goes, that's 2 years of Wednesdays.
Well, how many slices of pizza I may have consumed at these things? That's what
pasta.
Yeah, and see. The other thing is, this might be something that we need to contact, like, CBS Sunday Morning, because they love those great Americana stories. Because this is really...
But it's not going to be Charles Corral anymore.
Well, on the road.
He's not going to be here, and he'll pull up with his RV in front of Rastrelli's.
So, for people listening, what are you thinking about the future? Can you get to 1,000? Can you get to 900?
900 might be reachable. 1,000 might be a stretch. I'm hoping this is my 43rd year.
Oh,
I'm only 64 years old.
Oh my God.
I would like to get to 50 years, and I'll be 72 at that time. But my goodness, you watch some of these Al Michaels. He's yes. in his early 70s.
Right.
And, you know, some of these announcers, Brent Musburger is coming out of retirement because the Raiders are going to be moving to Las Vegas where he makes his home.
Yeah.
And he's going to start doing the play-by-play
right.
again. So, I mean,
right.
as long as I have my health and my voice, I hope to do this for a few more years.
Well, I sure hope so, because you do a great job. And a number of coaches at the high school want to congratulate you and wish you good luck, not only for this season, but the rest of the time.
Well, you know, I put this in my email to you. I go, you know, it's not about me. I'm kind of like the conduit. I mean, it's
yes,
the coaches and the athletes who take the time to come down and visit with me, because I know how busy you are away from your families during the course of your season, and to come down on a Wednesday night.
And the other thing, though, Gary, people love talking to you. You love the kids. You promote positive sports, because in this day and age of the media being somewhat negative and taking negative turns, either on social media or, you know, talk radio especially, you know, when I listen to talk radio, it's just like, oh my goodness, we focus on so many negative things rather than the positive things. And especially with high school athletics, you know, I mean, you're talking about a kid who's just learning the game. You know, most of the coaches here, they're relying on a 16-year-old kid for their future. I mean, there's not too many jobs that you do that with.
I think what benefited me was that I was, at best, an average athlete. So I knew what it was like not to succeed, but still to try and to get that success sometime.
Right.
But, I had the biggest compliment I ever got, this gentleman who used to ride around town on his wheelchair. He has since passed, but I would see him riding around.
Yeah.
He comes up to me, goes, you know, I've never heard you say anything bad about anybody. And to me, that was the greatest compliment.
I've never have either. You know, when I was coaching and you would do some of the games and we would record the games. And, you know, we might be going to my mother-in-law's on a Sunday. I go, hey, let's just slip the tape in or something like this. And I go, oh, my God, I remember that part of the game. I know I wasn't happy, but the way he put it into perspective was so nice, you know. I appreciate it. I know the kids' parents always appreciate it as well.
To me, you know, when I'm doing play-by-play and when it is lopsided, to me, that's when I go, I'm going to try and do as well as I can, do my best for this particular game, because right now I got to keep these people. It's not going well down there on the court, but I'm going to make a positive out of this.
Did you have when you were younger, and obviously you listened to games on the radio,
oh, yeah.
whether they're baseball, football, whatever. Okay, did you have a role model, and you said,
Hank Dillman.
Hank, yeah.
I'm Clinton native.
Right.
I grew up listening to Hank Dillman, but Jack Buck really enjoyed listening to the St. Louis broadcasts and Jack Buck. Vince Lloyd, primarily radio,
because
I grew up, you would get Notre Dame football on Sunday morning with Lindsey Nelson. you would get that. And, you know, guys like that.
So did you listen to, because young kids don't understand this, because a lot of young kids even today do not even watch games. You know, they go, I love to play football, but I don't watch it. Or especially baseball. Kids play baseball, but they don't watch it.
Yeah.
Or to me, our generation, we would listen to the games in almost like it was I don't want to get in trouble, but like a spiritual thing where it was just the rhythm of the game, the rhythm of the voices.
Well, you grew up in Detroit, which had to have been great. I mean, you had Ernie Harwell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had the Tigers, you had the Lions, you had the Pistons, you had the Red Wings. I mean, my goodness.
Right, and not to mention we had, of course, you know, the college football scene, and who didn't love, you know, a crisp Saturday morning and Keith Jackson coming on, you know, on the television later on. So,
So now you're going to be here next week for 7:01?
I sure hope so.
Okay, good.
You know, kick off.
Well, it's an open door.
Gary
Luters is here. He's swinging a bat. He's on deck. He'll be here next week as well. We're going to talk to the athletic directors.
So would you say that I've been the most frequent
guest?
Oh,
easily.
Someone asked me about that. I thought I said it's easily 300.
I would think so.
Yeah,
I would think so.
Okay.
But, you know, now, you know, the transition, we're going from the fall to winter. And before, when we had, you know, Mount St. Clair here, the women's and men's college basketball, we had Clinton Community College basketball, I was able to, you know, make a little easier transition.
Right.
But the last couple of years, you know, the football season has started in late August. So, I mean, we're done with the regular season already.
Yeah, I know.
And the girls in Iowa don't get started for a week and a half, and the boys don't get started for 2.5 weeks.
Right, right.
So, yeah, so.
And then you got the Illinois. They start almost the same time.
The girls start Monday.
Oh, they do.
Yeah,
okay.
that'll be their first practice, and then the boys will start the following Monday.
I thought I smelled some basketball in the air.
You going to miss it?
We'll see.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because I have that natural vibe in my body right now, kind of kicking up a little bit.
Yeah.
And tonight with parent-teacher conferences, talking to some of the other coaches.
Yeah.
And then, oh, wait a minute.
It's going to be a different look. Again, we're going to wrap things up here with Bill Mischewitz. I had an opportunity to visit with Troy, our new head coach, Troy Erzelin, before the volleyball match last night. Evan Hahn's not going to be handling the sophomores. You're not going to be handling the freshmen. So, I mean, it's going to be kind of a different look. I'm sure you've probably talked to Troy.
I think we've talked just about every day.
Okay, so what do you think?
I'm really excited. You know, it's just an outsider coming in, and he, you know, he's seen things, and there's certain things that he really enjoys, and certain things that we definitely need work on, and it'll be fun because, you know, we've got some kids coming back, you know, like LJ and Brett Miley, to name two right off the bat.
Devontae.
Yeah. If the athleticism mixes within what Troy's system is going to bring, then it can be very exciting.
And, you know, this one final thing, I want to throw this out. I mean, we had Bob Walker. What a great job he did in the interim. Nick Lawrence followed him. Chris Powers. Primarily, though, they weren't in the classroom. That's got to be a little bit difficult. I mean, you were always in the classroom. So, I mean, you saw these girls day in and day out.
And Troy is very visible in the hallway, in the cafeteria, in the classroom. He's, believe me, he's chasing down kids for one little thing or another. So, you know, the kids know he's around. Mm-hmm. And I know the open gyms have been, he's been telling me they've been really good. Some of the kids have been enjoying them. So, you know, like I said, it's that where my vibe is getting, and I'm getting excited just for those guys.
You know, I enjoy season to season. You're a tall drink of water, so basketball was always your sport. I mean, but I would imagine as a kid in the fall, you probably threw the football around, played a little baseball.
Well, you know, it's kind of a crazy thing.
Did you play hockey at all?
They tried to get me to play hockey. Yeah, they tried to get me. They said, you're going to be a great goalie. And then I said, oh, yeah. And so they're pumping me up, all right?
Yeah, and then they started.
Well, we would play that plastic hockey, you know, floor hockey in elementary school.
Right.
And I was like the Great Wall of China. They couldn't, you know, get anything by me. And so they said, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to go to the rink, and we're going to get some skates on you. And I go, okay. So that was, you know, funky. But, man, that puck would hit you.
Oh, yeah.
And you just go, whoa, that kind of hurt.
Yeah, where's my mask?
And then, you know, the rink time was always, hey, we need $10 for rink time. What? Yeah. And it was cold. And, you know, I didn't like getting, you know, that puck. You're like, whoa, that, you know, because back then you didn't wear that many protective gears on your head and face, you know. If you wore a mask, remember, there was a guy called Jacques Plante who wore the first mask, you know, and people were like going, oh, what's wrong with that guy? Now, you know.
What a sissy.
Yeah.
How did they do that? Did you go to Red Wing games at all?
I went to two.
Okay.
I went to two. Yeah, I got to see, you know, the
front
line.
Did you throw an octopus on the ring?
No, I never did. I thought that was so, you know, that's the Greek population in Detroit.
How did they smuggle them into the rink, the
you
arena?
Know, those things are, I'm not really sure, but, you know, we saw Alex Delvecchione, of course, Ted Lindsay, and, of course, Gordie Howe.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not doing so well this year. But
it's early.
Yeah. But hockey, the thing about hockey, it was cold, expensive, late, and hurt. And then basketball, was my ticket out of going to catechism on Monday night. And so I know that sounds kind of crazy. The only reason why I played basketball is because I could get out of catechism, because it was I've had my run of it. You know, I was going since the fourth grade, and I thought I had enough catechism in me.
And then it turns out you're 6'9", so that
it was kind of a weird deal. It just
when did you hit your growth spurt? Were you always tall?
I was always. Someone asked me that today.
Yeah,
Gary.
Okay.
I've always been, like, when I was 11 years old, I was 5'11". Okay, and when I was 12, I was 6 foot. And,
so you're always in the back row in pictures.
Always.
I was always in the front row.
Well, I was. There were a couple times where my mom would drop us, you know, at the movie theater. It'd be kids' day, you know. And so kids under 12 could get in for, like, I don't know, 50 cents or something like this. Yeah. So here I was like 10, 11, you know, and they're going, no, buddy. Well, you know, don't try to hand us this jive. You're 15.
Can I see an ID?
And I would start talking, and they would go, there's something. There's wrong with you? Or like, and I go, I'm only 11 years old, you know. So I had to pay a lot of times, like at like $2.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd stop going to the movies because I was getting ripped off, you know.
I'm sure people are really enjoying this conversation that we're having right now. We will appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate all the work you've done.
Next Wednesday.
Yeah, thank you.